Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, good morning. Father, we acknowledge you and we praise you this morning. Thank you for this day full of you and full of your goodness. God, we walk into it. God, we are gathered here before you this morning, all with one thing in our hearts, and that is to get to know you, God, to draw closer to you, Father, growing in you. And the things of you is what we're here for. So, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for you. And we cast out all spirits of distractions, of hindrances, blocks, confusion, limitation, All idolatry or self-idolatry, all spirits that oppose the will of God, we destroy their works and their roots and all the attachments that come from them. All spirits and spiritual attacks that keep us from coming into the knowledge of God and His ways, I shut down right now and I bind them up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we renounce and we rebuke you all. And above all, God, I ask that your will be done and your name be glorified. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Good morning, Ted Lyon. It is Saturday, October 6th, 2018. Thank you for joining me this morning. Last week, Saturday, we looked into God and Him being an unrestricted, an almighty God, all-powerful, and unlimited by anything, even distance or time. We talked about the spiritual gift of patience working her perfect work in us and making us perfect and whole and wanting nothing. And we touched on God being omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And we explored the mighty ways of God being just unrestricted by time and distance and the things that of this physical world that we live in. We looked at God's power and His wisdom and His presence. From Daniel 11:32, this was the last scripture that I gave you before we closed last Saturday, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And today I want to talk to you for a little bit about knowing God versus not knowing God and the rewards and the costs of these two. In the 80s and 90s, when I was growing up, there was a cartoon favorite of mine, and I'd watch it a lot. And there was a catchphrase in the cartoon that was a signature line that if you watch this cartoon, you memorize this phrase because they said the phrase over and over, mostly at the end of the closing of the cartoon. And it goes like this: and knowing is half the battle. And some of us grew up with classics like G.I. Joe. Others didn't. And while the moral of this line was probably along the lines of learning some life lesson out of the trial of that episode of that show, it leaves out something important when it says knowing is half the battle. Because if knowing is half the battle, what's the other half of that battle, right? It only teaches a half-truth, and while, yes, it sounds like a noble fact of life, there are other morals, and there are other moral one-liners like it. You know, what you don't know can hurt you. And that's the watered-down version of the one-liner. Sometimes what you don't know can kill you. There's also other versions of that. What you don't know can't hurt you. But in truth, the things you don't know are the dangerous things. And yes, while knowing can surely be half the battle, what is unknown many times lies hidden, waiting to destroy us. To be or not to be, that's the question. A character in a play written a long time ago made this statement. But he made the statement to be or not to be as he was contemplating his own suicide. In this play, the writer assumes to portray the questions of a man trying to know if he should die or not. But it seems to be the trip up for many people when making a bad life choice. Most humans will make the wrong decisions when they're centered on themselves. When many people could have saved themselves a lot of hardship just by considering God before making a major decision, even a small one. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Goes to tell you that if we know him, he'll direct our paths. And our decisions will probably be better decisions when they're centered on knowing God. So we're going to take a look at knowing God and willful ignorance of, you know, this is a make it or break it scenario of times that we live in. And it's like the prophet Joel said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Joel 3:14. So knowing God at a time like today could mean everything. Knowing God right now can be a make it or break it decision. Not knowing God is that break it decision, that break it state of not knowing God. The reality is that we don't want to be in that position where we don't know God, and that's the reality of it. So first, let's go over knowing God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And right away, we see that the beginning of wisdom is to know God, and that is understanding. If you want to begin to know something intelligent, start at God. If you want to know anything, start at God. And as I stated last Saturday, those who need wisdom won't seek knowledge, but rather they'll seek God, who is the spirit of understanding. He's the spirit of truth. If you want to know the truth, you got to go to God. And they will find God that search for him, which here in Proverbs shows is the beginning of wisdom. The very start of the journey of finding wisdom is found right at God. Many are the learned and educated of this world, but none have even begun to know wisdom until they know God. Remember last week I gave you Proverbs 8:14. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. In Genesis 33:13-14, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses knew what knowing God meant, and he knew the correlation of knowing God with finding grace in his sight. Not just anybody could know God. As Daniel stated in 11:32, in Daniel 11:32, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, this whole chapter, he's prophesying to the king Darius. And he was ministering, not only as a prophet of God, as a servant of God, but in his corporate world duties, if you will, within the Syrian kingdom, he was ministering to his boss, to the king. And two things were going on here. He was doing this worldly ministry to a king, but he was also in the spiritual ministering to the king and prophesying. He's prophesying of future events, future kings that were to come. And in the middle of all this telling of events, Daniel declares something about the people who knew or know their God in the future time, in this time. And those who know God will do exploits. Reading in verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping or helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them understanding shall fall. Some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So there's a setting where people will be going through a time of trial and testing. over a space of time. But in the midst of it, Daniel is saying there will be those who know God and do exploits. Despite the flatteries and the purging and the trials and other things going on, many will know God. They'll be close to God and they'll do exploits. In Joel 2:27, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Joel's saying here that those who know God won't be ashamed. In Psalms 46:10, God's saying, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. In the Word of God here, God, there's the association between knowing God and God's being exalted among the heathen and exalted in the earth. Two things. God being exalted among people that didn't know him, and also God being exalted within the earth. John 17:1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And Jesus is saying this right here, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Knowing God is eternal life. Looking over to Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here Paul tells the church body in Philippi that losing everything to gain the knowledge of Jesus is counted as nothing compared to knowing God. Continue on to verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. This is very important, and I wanted to pull up a different version. So, just picked up the Message Bible version. And I'm going to read it again in the Message. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, Everything I once thought I had going for me is insufficient. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules, when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Apparently, in all his learning and all his scholarly academic credentials that he came with as a Roman citizen on the scene of Christianity, he was a learned Jew who knew the law, a well-respected one at that. But all the learning and the education and being able to speak and write in different languages and to know the things that he knew, when he got to know Jesus, he realized what value he thought was in the former things was no longer there. The real value he found was in knowing God. 2 Peter 1:2, chapter 1, verse 2, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's saying here that all things that pertain unto life and godliness were given to us by God through the knowledge of him. The things we don't know can hurt us. They can even kill us. Lack of the knowledge of God. Let's talk about the lack of the knowledge of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1:5-9, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In this passage, we see that not knowing God has place in judgment. The flames of vengeance, it says, will be on them that know not God. And not knowing God is not the same thing as never being introduced to him. Not knowing God is not the same thing as never being witnessed to about him. Them that know not God is describing those suffering of flames of vengeance. That's their end. That's the end result for choosing not to know him after hearing and after the invitation to know him. It's an act of the will. In 2 Peter 2:10, But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to do to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, if the same is he, of the same is he brought in bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. In this portion of scripture, we see that we all being knowledgeable of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have escaped the pollutions of the world. But the scripture points out those who return to the pollution of the world are compared to as dogs returning to their own vomit. It's a very graphic and colorful way to warn people. It's a sobering illustration of what happens to those walking away from this life, from the transforming knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it's a warning nonetheless. Jeremiah 4:22. For my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Is this to say that wise and educated people are safe, but those with a low IQ are doomed? Not at all. No, it talks about not retaining God in their hearts. It talks about forgetting and letting the ways of God go from your memory, from your heart, will cause God to forget our children. Getting or letting the ways of God go is a rejection. And rejecting the knowledge of God, in doing that, God will reject us. His word says this. And like we have heard here on the TED line so many times, God says, if you will, I will. Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So not retaining God in their knowledge will eventually turn into being given over to a reprobate mind. As it says in verse 32, those who commit such things are worthy of death. Hebrews 3, verse 10. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will rise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow one to know the Lord, follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewn them down by prophets. I have slain them by the swords of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Now look at verse 6. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treachery against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as a troop of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee. When I return the captivity of my people, God desires that we know him. More than sacrificing burnt offerings, he desires that we know him. And turning unto him is what he calls for here in this passage, even going on to say that he will heal the injuries caused by the lack of knowing him. Not knowing God causes us to live the wrong way, and that damages not just our heart, but our bodies. God enforces his word, both when we disobey and when we obey. God enforces his word. Now, in this in the search of knowing God in this passage is a sample of the nature of God to reveal himself, to know him. To those who seek him, he reveals himself. You notice in verse 2, after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will rise us up, and we shall live in his sight. It's a prophecy looking forward to the Messiah on the cross, and death, burial, and resurrection that happened. And he did exactly that when he completed that work on the hill, being crucified and buried and then rising up from the dead. He did that exact thing, but to all of that was for the restoration, the healing. Now we're commanded not just to know God, but to grow in that knowledge. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Psalms 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. John 15, verse 20 and 21. Remember the word that I said unto you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Titus 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. John 16, verse 2 and 3. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. Speak this to your shame. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, in this scripture, the goal, the whole goal, the aim, is to come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. The end result here, to a perfect man. And the perfect man is measured the stature of the fullness of Christ. We measure ourselves against Christ. We're comparing ourselves as we're looking and learning and getting to know Christ. We're becoming more like him. And really, the only measurement anybody should use is the Word of God. John 14, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And what happens to us when we see him as he really is, when we know him? There's reward in knowing Jesus. In 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Wherefore abideth in him sinneth. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer entereth life, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. All these promises and all these gifts that come from God. Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes under knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a scripture. What an awesome and powerful scripture. What huge promises are in there. Awesome scripture. Jeremiah 22:15-16. Shall you reign because you clothe yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged and caused the poor and needy. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing, says the Lord? A According to the Bible Dictionary, I looked up the word sin. It defines it as the breaking or transgressing of God's law. Reference 1 John 3 and 4. It is also described as disobedience or rebellion against God, as described in Deuteronomy 9:7. As well as independence from God, the original translation means to miss the mark of God's holy standard of righteousness. So error is sin. Sin is just that error of missing the mark. And in Romans 6:23, we see the payment for both error and the alternative, the better way. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in summary, mankind was separated from God in the knowledge of the things of God as a result of that sin under the shade tree of the forbidden tree in Genesis 3:6. And after this, mankind's life was walked out in the ignorance of the things of God, the separation from the ways of God and God himself. This life certainly caused injury and eventually death. It caused a breakdown, spiritually and physically, due to the separation, whether through ignorance or willful knowledge. There's still a harvest reaped as it describes as wages. And the reward for sin was death. And it describes that the reward of the gift of Jesus is life eternal. And one thing is for sure, for me, I wouldn't like hearing God say that he doesn't know me. For Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Here the error of the Jews, who didn't know who Jesus really was, they embarrassed themselves when they brought the curses upon them from the generations to come under the error of what they did. And to their own peril, they rejected the privilege to get to know God through Jesus. John 10:23-30, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Lord Jesus, I pray that we all supernaturally come into that deep knowing of you, the deeper things of you, your ways. I pray, God, that you would prosper every single act and every decision and of our desire individually to get to know you more. Prosper those actions that we take, those decisions that we make along the way of getting to know you, God. I pray that all of our spirits are quickened by your Holy Spirit, into the things of God, to knowing you and your way. I pray that your Spirit reveals your words to us and pours into us the knowledge of you, Jesus, that transforming power and the transforming knowledge of you, Jesus. Make us all victorious who seek to be lovers of your word. Make us all to be triumphant in seeking you, God, in pursuing the knowledge of you, God, make us victorious. Make us winners. Make us victors. in going after you and knowing you. As you teach us your ways, God, and more about you, God, make that word come alive in us. Make it set us free from within us, God, freeing up all the gifts that you've called us to walk in. And loose by your hand the life that we are supposed to live in accordance with your will and knowledge of you, God, so that we might be able to do exploits in your name and in your honor, bringing you glory as we take your word wherever we go, God. Pray that you quicken us into the revelation of you and knowing you deeper and more, and cause that to grow and not to be hindered or stalled out, God, but to grow in love of knowledge of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. And thank you, God, for the word. Thank you for your spirit this morning. I pray that all of you have a wonderful weekend. Be sure to join us again tomorrow morning as Pastor Brian brings us the awesome word of God. Thank you. God bless you.
Brothers and sisters, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Brothers and sisters, about 3 o'clock this morning, I had an open vision. I don't even know if it was an open vision or if I was right there looking at it. But something happened. And in this vision, pardon me, I'm going to download this. If you hear some noise in the background, because I'm going to download this thing from the computer. In the vision, I want to say now the computer in an error state. Oh, boy. This is really, really important. In the vision, I saw a lady. And the lady was very hysterical and crying. And it was a man in the background of this vision. And at first, I couldn't see the man. But the lady, the lady was yelling and screaming and hollering. And half of what she was saying, I couldn't make it out. I couldn't make out what she was saying. But whatever she was saying, I knew it had something to do with the man. And she was saying like things like, I did everything for him. When I met him, he didn't even have but one pair of socks. And she was like hysterical. And I kept looking at the lady, and I kept looking at the man, and I didn't know if I was in a dream or if I was looking at this, but it was not a dream. It was an open vision. And I saw this lady, and she was, it affected me so bad, I called over to the healing home, and I asked Gwen, if what you hear is me downloading what I wrote about this and what I found out about it. I called Gwen and I said, Gwen, did you pray with anybody this morning? A lady that was hysterical and upset and yelling and screaming. And she said, no, I don't pray on Saturday with anybody. So then I just kept thinking about this because I couldn't shake it. So then when Jose came, I said, go get Reggie. So Jose went and got Reggie, and I kept telling him about this thing I saw. But this is the part that really got me. When I looked at the man, he was sitting sideways in a chair. almost with his feet up on a couch kind of thing. And his head had a very peculiar shape. And he was a small framed man. And when I looked at him from the chest, as I was looking at the man, because he was like on a lounge chair in a kind of like a reclining Cleopatra kind of position. That's the only way I can describe it. With his body elongated, laying on this couch. So I thought he was morphing into a snake because he didn't have his body. But then when I looked down at his feet had a fishtail. He didn't have any feet. So I looked back at the man. His head was shaped funny. He had a man's top torso, but right underneath his ribs, it was like a fish with a tail. That's how I mistook it for a snake, but it was a fish. So I called, and then I heard the word merman. I heard the word merman. So I said, Jose, is there any such thing as a merman? And I think Jose said, I don't know. But anyway, I went on the computer and I clicked in merman. And when I clicked in merman and I began to read the study, no, this is not Dagon. I know Dagon is the fish god. But you on the right track, Joanne, because when I looked up merman and I wanted to look it up and see what the biblical what it would say biblically about the merman. So what I found out is that the Sumerians and Chaldeans worshiped fish gods. So then, by then, I had assembled a whole staff over here because I mean, this thing worried me. God used this to really put something on me. So then, I looked it up. And I found out about the Sumerians and they worshiped these fish gods during the Babylonian era. Now, you know, I just was talking about when God gave me that Babylonian thing the other day. From the Babylonian deity, It says, I couldn't see the man's face, but the more I was trying to talk it out with the staff here, the Holy Spirit said his face and head was the shape of an eel, but it was a human face. And from the waist down, it was the shape of a fish. So I went digging, found out that several modern religions today worship these goddesses, including Hinduism and Candomblé, which is an African Brazilian religion that worships this mermaid and merman goddess today. So I kept digging. And as I was digging, into that candomblé, and I found out it is real. Over 2 million people worship it right now in Brazil. Well, not only in Brazil, it is mixed up with the Olandumare, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong because this is the first time I'm dealing with this. And the Olandumare is the big god, but it has several little gods under it, and they are the Orixas, and they are supposed to be a link between the spiritual world and the world of humans. In voodoo, Vodun, and in Kisis, they are spirit gods, the same as the Orixas and the Candomblé is a synthesis of three African religions, Yoruba, Fon, and Bantu. Included in that is voodoo, Vodun, and Nkisis, and these are the names preferred today in these sects. They also have a god called Yemaya, which is the Yoruba Orisha or goddess of the living ocean, considered the mother goddess of all. She's supposed to be the source of all waters. So what God was showing me, I'm understanding it now, is not only am I dealing with a water, marine spirit, but I'm dealing with water witchcraft. Water witchcraft. And that demon's name is Yeomo Ija, which means mother whose children are the fish. Now, this god over this thing here worshipped and honored through feasts and dancing. You see, they believe in this one god who is served by the lesser gods, and the practitioners believe that each person has their own individual Orixa or god, which controls his or her as their own personal destiny and acts as a protector. What that means is anybody coming alongside these people to help them gonna have to take on all these gods, and before you can free the person from this witchcraft, you got to deal with the protector demons and the protector goddesses that have been in place so that the person will not get free of this witchcraft. So I'm glad Mike came on here and was talking about God, because that's what it's going to take with me coming up and God showing me what he showed me today. These people do their witchcraft through food. They have certain foods that are dedicated to certain acts, and they believe that the food has healing powers, but also that the food has powers which could bring the person who eats the food under subjection to them. And they also believe in some transgender kind of stuff, like these healers, which they're getting themselves transferred into people by using healing, but in actuality, they are transferring these demons and these spirits into people, and the people do this willingly because they think it's an honor, and once these spirits are transferred into the person, they are then through the dance unloosed in the atmosphere. Not only was God showing me are they unloosed in the atmosphere, they have the personal demons that they worship and they possess, okay? They think they possess them temporarily, but the demons are then integrated into the body of the person that allowed them to come in, and they do not leave. They do not leave, which is what causes some of these people to think that they got these special powers, but they don't got no special powers. They got some special demons. And these demons are the hierarchy is a royal spiritual hierarchy in voodoo and then this Kambole stuff. And they worship spirits, which are elemental spirits found in trees, other natural things, or nature. In the same time, they use their ancestor spirits to do whatever they want to do. Now, when this thing was originally supposedly manifested or whatever, it was supposed to be for you. It was the ability to summon the forces. Not only that, but these are the same ones that control in the spirit realm through demonic means, pregnancy and birth control. Okay, these are the ones that they summons up when a girl or a woman cannot get pregnant, and then they go to these witches and do these crafts and do these divination and necromancy, and then the girl gets pregnant. Brothers and sisters, that's about as much as, oh yeah, she is regarded as the queen of the sea. She is regarded as the queen of the sea. And the people who practice this, in their practice, there's no good or there's no bad in it. It is only about what you need done. But they say they believe that evil you cause will return to you eventually, okay? And it's supposed to be the ancestor spirit's job to make sure that these moral standards are continued in the present, but they've been perverted, and they also use the drums and the drumming, okay? So brothers and sisters, I got to deal with the spirit this morning because somebody somewhere, I saw the lady. I don't know this lady. But this lady is in serious, serious trouble. And this lady has no knowledge that all of her trouble is coming from this Afro-Caribbean witchcraft, indigenous witchcraft that is even rooted in Hinduism, and it's rooted in what else did I say? Hinduism, and therefore it's rooted in a lot of indigenous people's witchcraft. Meaning it would be rooted in the Filipino witchcraft. It would be rooted in Amazonian, anything from Latin America and the Amazon. It would be rooted in Argentina, Peru, Paraguay. I'm talking to you too this morning. I'm talking to every Latin American. And it's got to have some roots in Mexico too. But the predominant worship, and what makes this so bad, is they have festivals, fiestas, dedicated to the demons. And when they do the festivals and the fiestas, that means that there is a spiritual implosion of these demons out of these countries. And if you marry to somebody in one of these countries, and if you wonder why they act strange at certain times, it's because these demons being loose. These demons are being loose. And God showed it to me. God showed it to me. God showed it to me. And even as I'm talking now, God is telling me, you got to pray for Argentina. That's part of the problem in Argentina. These Cambiole demons have been unloosed, brothers and sisters. And they, when they summon these demons up, they think they had a power to make the demons when the festival or the fiesta is over. Then the demons manifest. They manifest because they've been unloosed through elemental spirits. They've been unloosed in trees. They've been unloosed in bushes. They've been unloosed in food offered to idols. So I need you to help me this morning. I need you to help me because I haven't had time enough yet, hallelujah, to look it all up. But God showed it to me clear as day. It disturbed me so bad. I woke everybody else up in the house they live in. I said, you got to come up here. I got to find out what this is that God is showing me that's so horrible. And it is so horrible, brothers and sisters, because of the fact that just like Haitian voodoo, when they take that boat and they capture the ancestor spirits and supposedly put them in a jar, okay? But then they go out in the middle of the sea and then they unloose it. And everywhere the tide rolls in, them demons are manifesting. And them demons are coming in with the roll of the tide. The tide goes out and the tide comes in. These spirits are just like that. And as even as I'm explaining to you what I saw, God is telling me that's why when people are bound by marine spirits and water spirits, they're unstable because man's body, oh, God, thank you. God say man's body is about 17 bottles of water and one bottle of dirt. So this is why marine spirits are so horrible, because you and I are 70% water in our composition. And God was letting me see how bad it is. And for the life of me, brothers and sisters, for the life of me, I am not happy. I am very, 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 and somebody just texted me, Dr. Pat Holliday has touched on the subject you're talking about this morning. She talked about the city underneath the sea or the ocean. Okay? Well, I saw, and God let me see, it is doing what, and whoever this lady is, it is, I don't know who you are. If you under the sound of my voice, call me on my phone. I want to pray with you right away. I want to pray with you right away. I saw your pain. I saw your misery. I saw your agony. And I saw your anguish and your spirit. I saw it and I felt it. I felt it and I saw it. You know what? This man I saw that morphed. First he was a man, and then he was a merman. And that's why it devastated me, because I ain't never heard of nothing like, I mean, mermaids. But no, uh-uh. The word the Holy Spirit let me hear was merman, a merman. And then when I looked it up, I saw what it looked like. On the internet, I saw a drawing of it. You know what I'm saying? But I saw it in the spiritual realm. And I saw the dirty, rotten, filthy damage. So whoever this lady is, or whoever you are, or whoever is bound by them demons this morning, I'm taking authority over them in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. I rendered a voodoo, null, void, ineffective. I rendered a Brazilian, Cambeole, or whatever they call it, null, void, and ineffective. I render the, let me think what else I found out. I render the, hold on. Oh, man, I didn't even put a name on it. Oh, I put it under this. Blood of Jesus over these mermaids. That's what I saved it as. I break the power of the Babylonian goddess worship that stirred up and unloosed these marine spirits, that unloosed these messengers of the sea. I bind Triton in the name of Jesus. I bind Oludumare in the name of Jesus. I bind every Oryxus in the name of Jesus. I bind Budan in the name of Jesus. I bind Enchises in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke every spirit, God, coming out of the water. Right now, I command you to separate and come out of any man, woman, or child that is under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. God has called you to judgment. I render Yoruba ineffective, null and void. I render Fon ineffective, null and void. I ban and rebuke all Bantu religions, all Bantu demons, all Fon demons, all Yoruba demons in the name of Jesus. I ban, render null, void, and ineffective Yemaya, the Yoruba Orisha, or goddess of the living ocean in the name of Jesus. I break your power over the water contained in the body, in my body, in the body of any man, woman, child, or animal. In the name of Jesus, I break the power this morning of all indigenous witchcraft. I break the power of Yeoma Ija, which means mother whose children are the fish. Go! Go! Loose your stronghold. Loose your stronghold. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of your siren tone of bewitchment. I break the power from every morsel of food from your Eluba J feast. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of Condomble in the name of Jesus. I command everybody you got bound to be loosed in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 Go in the name of Jesus. Everywhere your feet have touched the ground and you have claimed it in a dance, unloosing those Oryxa demons, I break that stronghold right now. Go! I destroy the power of the Expana, royal spirit from that candomblé. Go! In the name of Jesus. Loose that woman. Lose her husband. I break the power of any of these spirits that have transferred by walking in through any type of trees, plants, or other natural things on the earth. Go! I break the power of ancestor worship from these water spirits, from these marine princes. In the name of Jesus, go! Get out. I break the power of any man, woman, or child possessed by Aksum. Go! I loose the city of Salvador in Brazil. Go! Let those people go. Let God's people go. I break the power from the queen and the heaven of the seas. Go! Go! In the name of Jesus. And I break the power of any Brazilian witchcraft unloosed unknowingly on any man, woman, or child. Let God's people go! 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 I break the power of Hecate the Queen of Heaven. Go! I command the power of Ogum to come down right now. Go! Go! Go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of our ancestor worship of any and all marine devils in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! Right now, Father God, I ask you to bring destruction, complete and utter destruction, to every city under the sea. I'm asking you to loose holy angels. Destroy them in the name of Jesus. Every demon unloose and holding territory or hindering from the marine kingdom, I command all the instruments, objects under the sea to implode right now. Implode in the name of Jesus. And I command that water witchcraft to be destroyed right now. Destroy our water witching, our water witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Go! Right now. Go! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose that lady. Loose her husband. Loose that lady. Loose her husband. From that bondage. To water witching. Water witchcraft. And marine devils and demons. Get out. Get out. I break the power of every costume, every headdress, every morsel of food rolled up and cooked in a leaf. I break the power of all witchcraft dressed in food from anywhere. Go! Get out! Get out! Get out in the name of Jesus. Right now. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Loose that family. Loose that family. Dagon, you are fallen. I destroy your power under Baal. Go! I destroy the power of Baal this morning. No longer will you take captive children. Go! Go! In the name of Jesus, I destroy all island witchcraft this morning. From any island, every island. Let God's people go. I break that Leviathan stronghold over Jamaica this morning. Loose them, Leviathan. I break those marine captives and I speak. Jesus came to loose the captives and set the captives free. Go, every marine spirit. Loose God's people this morning. Let them go. Loose their minds. Loose their minds. And every thief, I break the power from any and all pirates that drew on marine spirits to pillage any islands. Father God, loose their resources back to them. I break your power this morning. In the name of Jesus. I break your power this morning. That demon named Arjun, from Argentina. Loose Argentina this morning. Oh! We reverse that curse in the name of Jesus. Hey, Greg, what time was Pat Holiday on talking about the city under the sea? What time was she on talking about this? Can you recall what time it would have been? I'll find out. Thank you, Father. Thank you this morning. Thank you. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. Loose God's people and let them go. Let them go. Reverse the curse. Where the devil meant it for pillaging and harm, turn it around and let it become the greatest miracle, the greatest blessing for the men and women of God. I thank you for it this morning. I thank you that God got all the glory first. I thank you that God is brilliant, undescribable. And I thank you this morning that these water spirits have been defeated. And I thank you that God gave me Jeremiah 51. In preparation for this. Ha, 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 devil. Ha, 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 ha. It didn't work. In the name of Jesus, it didn't work. It didn't work. It did not work. It did not work. All of you elemental spirits that dwell in trees, plants, grass, and other natural things, even natural foods, I break the curse right now in the name of Jesus. From any natural foods, herbs found in these natural food stores, I break it in the name of Jesus. Any bodies, ancestors contained in any jars or under the wax of any candles of voodoo or sealed up in a freezer or refrigerator. I command the ice to melt. I command the temperature to come to 98.6. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you're healing all the damage. That would include Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Paraguay, Bolivia, Buenos Aires, Venezuela, Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil. Lord God, bless those nations. And while you bless it, bless Puerto Rico too. Loose Puerto Rico. Loose Indonesia. Everywhere where water devastation has taken place. Philippines. Lord God, I loose your anointing for restoration. Restoration. Thank you this morning. Thank you. I count it a privilege and an honor to serve you in this way as one of your intercessors. All the Caribbean islands, too many for me to name, Bahamas, St. Martin, Martinique, St. Lucia, Trinidad, Tobago. Loose God's people. I command all marine devils, demons, come under the judgment. Come under the judgment. Go. 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 Loose. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I know. I know she got a book. I know the gentleman that wrote it. Met him some years ago when I used to be with, when I used to know Dr. Pat Holliday and Dr. Washington, who's gone on to be with the Lord. And I know Bishop Kinko, too. I've been out here a long time. And I thank God for it and a great memory to go with it. French Guyana. Go! Yeah, I know you're full of it. They're full of it there. Because didn't Jim Jones go to Guyana?
Yeah.
Loose God's people! Loose God's people from the spirit of death. Unloose! Break and destroy the queen of the seas this morning in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people from all that witchcraft and all those spiritual forces in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! Every hidden spirit due to this being in your ancestry, and you don't even know it, I bind it up this morning. Go! Go! Restoration. Restoration. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you. 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 If you don't know about the Marine Kingdom, I suggest you look it up on the internet. Dr. Pat Holliday has a book about it, and so does John Eckhart. Dr. Apostle John Eckhart. They're very viable brothers and sisters. And I thank God that he made it real to me. Made it so real about scaring me. Not a lot of stuff scared me, but this got my attention. 100%. And Michael, I listen, I'm glad God went first this morning. So brothers and sisters, lift your hands up. Father God, every area that was emptied out, fill. More power. More power. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up with more power. Thank you. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Feel, 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 feel. 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 Feel, feel, feel. Feel, feel, feel. I love Jesus. How about you? I love Jesus. How about you? Thank you.